days. I'm glad to get back and ready to go to work. Okay. Dr. Pikus, you want to start us off?
Heavenly Father, we give thanks for the opportunity to gather today in service to the State College of Florida, our students, faculty, staff, and our community. May our discussions be guided by wisdom, integrity, and respect. Grant us clarity in our decisions, unity in our purpose, and vision for the future of education. May the work we do here today strengthen the lives we touch and honor the mission we serve. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have no public comments, as I understand.
Thank you.
President Gregory, do you have a report for us?
Thank you, Chairman. You've got the report in front of you that details the, you know, the standard community contacts, the list of standard contacts, and you see, as usual, it was busy, except for when we were thankfully on winter break. And then I just noted at the beginning that we have three events. All of them are great events taking place on the same day, February 7th. So we'll kick it off in the morning in Venice. That's the Early Learning Coalition of Sarasota County. They have an annual Storybook Street event, and this year they're doing it on our Venice campus, so we're excited about that. It's such a popular event that you have to sign up. Like, you couldn't go now if you wanted to. They sell out their spots. And then our own dental hygiene clinic is hosting a free Healthy Smiles event, and that also in the morning goes until 1 o'clock on February 7th. And then that evening, I'm sure Cassandra will remind you that we have the foundation event that evening. A couple of notes beyond that. I've left on your spot the economic value of the Florida College System, a one-page brief from, this was an analysis done by the Association of Florida Colleges. So all 28 colleges, they look at all the data from around the state, so you can see the impact, both in student spending, operation spending impact, all the construction we do. And if you were to listen to that full report or go to, who is it, Jennifer Vine? Jenny, we were talking about this earlier.
Kimberly?
What's that?
Is her name Kimberly?
Yeah, Kimberly.
Krupa?
What's that?
Krupa?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Kimberly Krupa and Jennifer Vine did a nice podcast. So if you wanted to listen to that, it's about a 15-minute podcast. I can forward that to you from the Education Foundation, where they go into a little more depth. But just so you have it at your fingertips, you can see the success story that is the Florida College System, starting with right at the top there. You know, we have a big part in there with almost 10,000 degree-seeking students. But you can see overall what the Florida College System is looking at with 500,000 students, 43,000 employees. We are a juggernaut, and that's why the Commissioner of Education, well, it's not because of those numbers, but because of the work you do that makes Florida ranked, I think, 10 years in a row now as the number one higher education system in the country. So a lot to be proud of here. The other thing is much smaller, but still very important. I have here a little manatee. And so if you saw that in the email and you're wondering what that was with little figures, little ducks, little dumpster fires, all sorts of little things that you could pick up and select your favorite. This is something that grew organically from employees that were collecting them and putting them on other employees' desks, and just good esprit de corps, and it's kind of taken off now. So employees and students alike will have handfuls of these and hide them around the college. And we all like to put them in Chris Wellman's office and mail them to him, and Holy Joe's, and all sorts of things, because he wasn't in favor at the beginning, but he's since grown to love them. And don't worry, Susan, you'll get your manatee back into this meeting. But we're having a good time with that. So if you see that email, you're wondering what that is, there you go. And Chairman, that's all I've got for now.
Okay. Thank you, President Gregory. Okay, mission moment. SCF Radiology Department.
Yes, sir.
Come on up. Come on
Robinson. I'm the radiography program director here at the college. Been here for quite a while. Joining me tonight also is my clinical coordinator, Courtney Durant, a graduate student, Lindsay Page Morton, and two students are currently enrolled in the program, Christian Lassiter and Autumn DePizzo. So they're going to answer a couple questions maybe a little bit later, talk about what it was like to be in the program and what it was like to be in the program currently. So I'd like to thank you for having me tonight. I was honored when President Gregory asked me if he would like to give an overview of the SCF radiography program. My hope is that in what I'm done tonight, you'll have a better sense of what radiographers do, how we educate and train our students, and how our graduates help meet healthcare needs of our community right here, which lends nicely into our mission statement of the program, which is prepare competent, caring, entry-level radiographers who deliver safe, highly quality imaging for our community. So that's what we're all about. So what I thought I'd start off first is just give you a little background about what a radiographer does, okay? And before I do that, I want to show just a little brief video that's put out by our professional organization, the American Society of Radiologic Technologists, and it kind of just gives a nice little overview of what it is that we do.
Possible without the medical imaging or radiation.
That's right.
See that CT image? It may save a life. And it wouldn't be possible without the medical imaging or radiation therapy professionals like me. You might not know us, but healthcare wouldn't be the same without us. Like the mammographer who took the image to diagnose Claire's breast cancer. Or the radiation therapist helping to treat it. So Claire can get back to baking with her grandkids. And the radiographers who x-rayed all of Alex's skateboarding injuries. And if a blockage interferes with Jose's ballroom dance lessons, an interventional technologist will be there to help find and treat it and get him back on the dance floor. And let's not forget the sonographer who took all the images of Andrea and Ethan's children. Breathe, Ethan. It's going to be okay. So what would the world be like without us? Well, you'll never know. Because we've always been on the front lines of healthcare. We're your medical imaging and radiation therapy professionals. And it's time for us to be seen.
So that just gives a little background of what we do. We're kind of all over the place. With additional schooling, you can go on and to become like those interventional radiologic technologists that we're talking about. So what does a radiographer actually do? I wanted to kind of share that with you also. So it's the frontline imaging professional who works directly with patients while taking images to help diagnose their disease. They produce diagnostic medical images in varied environments. So we work in the actual x-ray department. Of course, that's where we are mainly focused at. However, because of mobile equipment, we're able to go bedside anywhere else in the hospital. So mobile equipment allows us to go to the patient if they're too sick to come to us. We're very commonly placed in the emergency room to get trauma images immediately. And again, that's why it's called frontline, because we are right there. We're the first people that are going to interact. And then surgery, radiographic use of imaging equipment in surgery has just exploded because of the equipment, the technology, and the better imaging that's possible, and the use that surgeons can use this to make sure that their plates are going in the right spot, the screws are going in the right spot, the prosthesis is going in the right way. So our students are involved in the surgical rotations all the time, learning how to get to use that. A radiographer needs to provide quality patient care because it's a very emotional experience, especially for patients undergoing trauma. So you have to deal with the patient, and you also have to be able to get good image quality. Practice radiation safety. So that's another thing the program has to teach, and that is to get a diagnostic image with the least amount of radiation possible. So just to give you now a little overview of the SCF program. So the program is basically divided into three major components: the didactic component, the laboratory component, and also the clinical. So in the didactic component, this is where the theory is introduced to the student. Okay? Our curriculum is extremely comprehensive, and it covers a lot of different topics. The major topics are radiographic physics and x-ray production. There is where they learn how the x-ray machine operates. Image formation, this is where they learn how an image actually is produced. I just want to branch off here for 1 second just to make everybody up to the 21st century. No longer is X-ray ever on a piece of film anymore. So it is now all digital. And the only reason I bring this up is because when it became digital, this added a lot more to the curriculum because now the student has to understand how that digital image is formed, which is pretty fascinating when you start to think about it. But I want to just share that with you, that our curriculum has encompassed all of that new information. Okay. Radiographic positioning, so this is what Courtney really teaches a lot of, and this is the foundation of radiology. So this is how the patient gets positioned for the specific exam that was ordered. Every body part has a specific view, a specific position that is used when you take an image. Radiation protection, of course, to limit the dose to the patient during the exposure. And finally, radiographic pathology so that students can see how a disease manifests on an image. So this is our classroom. And this is our classroom after one of my physics lectures. after I wake them all up, then they're good to go again. So the curriculum is aligned with our national standards. And it does meet all the certification expectations, and that's evidenced by we have a pretty good success rate on the national licensure exam, which I'll be sharing with you a little bit later. Okay, the next piece would be the laboratory component, and this is where the student has the opportunity to take the material that was learned in the classroom and then apply it in a safe environment, which is the room right next to the classroom. We have laboratories where they can take that information and immediately put hands on. And what's nice about this, of course, is they can do this in a really low-stakes, no-fear environment, okay? Because they can't really injure anybody, we simulate things. So here's an example here on the left of us simulating a trauma condition where the patient had, they had acquired some x-rays on a patient who could not cooperate. So we use that trauma a lot, and we use that laboratory a lot to help the student make that transition from the classroom into the clinical piece, but before they get out to the clinics and interact with real patients. The laboratory component also is a great area where we can use phantoms and mannequins to practice positioning. Our laboratories are fully energized, which means the machines give off x-rays and we can take x-rays, of course, not on human, but on the phantom. So then students can learn when they start to position this patient, these phantoms here have full bones, and they can take on, they can be x-rayed, and they'll hear what they would be a real human. So we can either do the full phantom, or we can do individual phantoms and have the patient do projects x-raying those things. So here you can see they're doing an abdomen x-ray. Our new equipment allows us to then they can see the images right away on the monitor and to learn if the corrections they make work or not. So I do have to give a special word about our laboratory, okay? I can confidently say it is truly state of the art, okay? 2023-2025 was a banner year for radiography. I have been requesting new equipment for 15 years, okay? And our material was getting a little dated. The material that they learned on here, the students would go out and say, we don't really see what's happening out in the clinic with this equipment because they got different equipment. So in 2023, my dreams finally came true, and we got a new machine. So I wanted to kind of just share that with you. This was our old x-ray machine. This was approximately 25 years old, and I had it donated from Lakewood Ranch Medical Center, and it was already 15 years when we got it from sales. So we were working on stuff, but it wasn't the best. Enter the summer of 23 when we get new state-of-the-art equipment. So this is the installation of it. This was then when the application person was here teaching the students how to use it. That's her right there. This is our happy faculty and the application specialist showing us how to run this new equipment. And just when we thought everything was good in the radiography field, we get news in summer of 25 that we're getting another new x-ray machine. So this was, again, our other x-ray machine in the other lab, which was probably 30 plus years old also. And we get news that that was being replaced. So we were very happy in radiography the last couple of years. Here's our new, the new equipment there. Again, state of the art. And I know that the remodel and the lab sizes, this is better than the hospitals. Some of the equipment is newer and better than what the hospitals are using. So, again, a special thank you to all of you for making that happen, because we are very appreciative of that. So then the last component of the program would be the clinical piece. And this is where it kind of all comes together. Clinical education provides real patient, real workflow experiences. This is where they first interact with the real life patient. They've been working in the lab, trying to get used to that uncomfortable feeling of adjusting a patient. Now they get to do it in real life. So this occurs through supervised training. Out in the hospitals, we have a clinical preceptor at each hospital that is the supervisor, per se, of the student when they're there. So when the student first begins, all supervision must be direct, because they don't really know anything. They haven't proved any competency. This is a competency-based program. So what that means is, as the student progresses and get a little more comfortable with the procedures, they can go up to the preceptor and say, I am ready to do a competency on a chest x-ray. At that point, they're evaluated. If they pass, it's a pretty rigorous evaluation process. If they pass that properly, they are now competent in that procedure, and they can now go from direct supervision and now practice with indirect supervision. And that's the goal of the 2 years, to get them all to be working with indirect supervision so that when they graduate, they can get out there and they can take their x-ray. And at this point, too, they gain a lot of self-confidence. So clinical piece, very, very important. We're happy to be able to affiliate with 11 of the hospitals in the area, and they provide good clinical experience for our students. And they're all pretty pro-program. Okay. So just to kind of share with you some SCF program outcomes, I thought that you would be interested in knowing. So some outcomes of note. Our students have 97% first attempt, 97% first attempt pass rate on the national certification exam. And this has been with a 10-year average. So we have a pretty good track record. And I get very disappointed if we don't have 100%. I've come to expect that. So we've had a few in the last couple years, which took it to 97%. The program is accredited by the Joint Review Commission on Education and Radiologic Technology, which is the accredited agency. We have gotten full 8-year accreditation for the past 3 cycles, and those accreditation cycles were with no citations. Accreditation can be awarded with a 1-year, a 5-year, or an 8-year max. We've had 100% job placement for the past 4 years of our graduates. And I think, other than just talking to you about numbers, I think another thing is that speaks volumes is just what is the satisfaction of our employers and of our graduates. So we are obligated by our accreditation agency to do surveys. So I just lifted some of just a few comments from some of these surveys. So employer satisfaction, you can take a second, take a look at those. And I just picked some of them. I didn't pick the cream of the crop ones either, so they're good. There's better ones, but I just thought I'd give you a sample.
Number 4.
Yeah, I noted it. Number 4. Of course, the orthopedic section. We're proud of that. And these facilities, they like our graduates. It's been known that they will not hire a person until they know our students are graduating. They'll leave a spot open for a couple months, is that correct? Yes, to hire one of our grads. Okay. Student satisfaction, I lifted a couple of those also. You can see that again. Those are favorable. But I'm thinking, what better way to find out information than people who have lived it? So if you guys would like to come up, or you wanted to stay there and I can ask questions, or come on up.
Patrick Weather, coming up, can you tell us again, how many years have you been here, and how much longer are we going to be able to hold on to you?
I've been here 36 years, and I've done a lot here. I think I've really molded the program into something I'm proud of. I thought maybe the new x-ray machine for an early retirement gift, but I'm not sure. But no, June 1 is, that's it. That's the deadline.
We're going to miss you.
Thank you. So I have some questions. So you can feel free to ask anything you'd like, but I have a few questions we'd like to maybe ask you, and then you get a response to them. So Lindsay, could you share how the SCF Radiography Program prepared you for real clinical work once you graduated?
Hi, I'm Lindsay Faith Morton. I'm a recent graduate of the program at Southside. I currently work at HCA Doctors Hospital in Sarasota. This program is superb, and I sincerely say this. It is rigorous, it is hard, it is demanding, but it sets you up to be a professional within this field of radiologic technology. So much so that I can just walk in and focus on learning all, you know, we've all been new to a job. You know, this is a second career for me. There's a lot of moving parts to learning a whole new system at a new employment, and I could just go in and focus on all the aspects of HCA because I completely felt confident in myself and my skills in positioning, operating equipment, interacting with radiologists, providing excellent patient care. The standards in this program are so high, and like Pat said, so many employers get excited and will say, oh, there's a new set of SCF grads coming up, and they will hold positions. I think we have a couple held right now because our director of the radiology department at Doctors Hospital, also a graduate from the program, is holding positions because she wants SCF grads. There's a lot of pride in the community. The community is really small, and SCF has an excellent reputation. So I feel so grateful that I chose to come to this specific program. I know there's others in the community. And I also want to say I had 9 clinical rotations out of the 11 that are offered. That is really unheard of in this field. Usually you get a hospital, you get an outpatient, and you might get an orthopedic center. I got to go to 9, and some of them were trauma hospitals. And not only that, I got 9 offers of employment. So I cannot say enough about this program, and I recommend it all the time. Actually, it just happened in Trader Joe's. It came out organically as I was checking out, but I went to the SCF program. And the gentleman that was checking me out was like, oh, there's somebody that works here that wants to go to the program, and he's talking about it. And I said, well, where is she? Let's talk. So we stood off to the side for like 15 minutes. Her employer was really kind, and I gave her a lot of great information. She also has my email address, so if she feels like she wants to have any further questions or any way that I can help guide her, I said, feel free to reach out anytime. And that's the community that this program brings.
I have one other question for you that this just came to my mind too. So
okay.
I don't know. Do you feel you were well prepared for the registry, for the national?
Oh, 100%. Yes, 100%. It is terrifying. I can feel the nerves all over again. And as I was going through that exam, I was like, oh, I got this. Yes, I know this. And I really didn't doubt myself at all. The instructors do an excellent job at creating the foundation for the registry. And I really like how this program works. Some programs, they do like a few weeks in class and then a few weeks in clinic. And in this program, we're in class and then we're in clinic. We learn it in class, and then the next day we're in clinic to be able to apply what we've learned. And that is a huge gift to prepare you for the registry as well. Does anybody out there have a question for me?
I have a question for anybody who can answer it.
Okay.
Unfortunately, at my age, I've encountered all these machines. The x-ray, the echocardiogram, the PET, all that stuff. I don't, help me out. Radiography and then radiologists. It's like, radiography first, and then you move on to radiologist.
Yeah, so radiology is a broad encompassing umbrella term that talks more than medical. So x-ray, interventional, like you were talking about, that would fall into radiology. Radiography is a branch of that where we train people. Radiography is the actual taking of the x-ray.
And would they also take like a scan too, or like MRI? Or
yes, and so that requires additional training. So our program here, which all programs across the country, radiologic technology programs are entry level for x-ray techs. Okay? Mm-hmm. However, they're doing a lot of cross-training. Our most facilities now cross-train new grads into CT right away, so they can do CT. And our graduates are like working 3 months in x-ray, and then they pull them over to CT or MRI, so they're really happy about that, but the student can't make that leap.
So that's not anything that we have here, like that equipment?
No, that would be additional equipment, right, yes. Nuclear medicine, ultrasound, those are two-year additional programs, standalone programs.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Were you going to have these other students speak before mm-hmm. more questions? I'll wait. I want to hear from you all, too.
Okay, all right. So, Autumn,
yes.
How have lab and clinical experiences helped you grow in confidence so far?
Immensely. So this is my first journey into healthcare. I've never set foot in a clinic or a hospital before this. I'm a first year, third semester student, so I'm in my second semester of clinicals. Last semester I was at an outpatient clinic, Manatee Diagnostic Center, just right up the road. And I didn't move very far. Now I'm at a hospital for the first time at Manatee Memorial Hospital. The professors do an amazing job preparing you for clinic. It was very nerve-wracking going into my first day last semester, you know, because we practice on the phantoms, as you showed you, and we did a lot of simulations to get ready. We had 3 simulations that we did within like a week span to get ready for clinic, which is kind of unheard of. Usually you just do 1 a week. But they have such high expectations. You spend a lot of time learning basically like the patient care, going through making sure, do you know how to ID a patient? Do you know how to gown them? Like all the really important things up front before you even get to positioning. And on my first day, the clinical preceptor and all the techs were very, very helpful, very encouraging. They just wanted me to get in there and do it. And I was really surprised by the end of the day how confident I already felt with the knowledge base that the professors had built up with me and the encouragement that I felt by the technologists at my clinical site. Jumping into a hospital now, it was a little bit of a learning curve. I spent kind of the first 2 weeks just getting oriented to navigating all the different areas. You know, when I was at an outpatient, we just kind of lived in a hallway, and you just had the 2 x-ray rooms, so we didn't have to go very far. This was my 5th day today at the hospital, and I got 2 pops, and also did 3 unassists. So that is basically where, once you have simulated something in class, you can go to the technologist and say, hey, I feel like I'm ready to unassist this exam, and you're under direct supervision, but you're doing all the steps. And if you successfully do all the steps by yourself, you get an unassist, and then I can go and comp. So just my 5th day into a hospital, I've already achieved quite a lot of things, and that is due to just the rigorous program, the support. I mean, the professors are just amazing. Like, if we did not have the faculty that we had, I would not feel as confident in myself as I am. I would never would have expected my 5th day into a hospital to just jump right into doing all of these exams. So it has immensely helped my confidence, the lab and the clinical component.
I did not tell them what to say. So I think that right now, okay? Clarify that. Okay, Christian, what has been the most valuable part of the program for you as a student?
Hi, I'm Christian. I'm same class as Autumn. The most valuable part has been just like the hands-on learning that we have in the laboratories there. We learn it in class, and they go, you know what, I think we should show you. So we all go back to the lab, and they show us everything. It's very, I love like the technology part of it. So that's really cool to learn that. But I'm with Lindsay over here. I hear so many people like talk how she used to, like hundreds of people. Like, oh my, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Hey, does anybody have questions for the group?
I have a quick question for you, Pat. What's the demand for these positions? Do we have a wait list for it?
Yes.
I imagine that,
yes.
I know the demand in the community would be great. What's the demand for students getting into our program?
So we take 17 students a year, and that's predicated on our National Accreditation Agency. They say, you know, with the hospitals we have, we can only place so many students in a facility, okay? So we take 17, we normally have anywhere between 1,600 applicants a year.
How many?
60 to 100. Right now, our application window is open until the end of December, and right now it's 117 applicants.
Are you saying that we can only take 17 because of the regulations?
We don't have the facilities to place them. So I'm hoping when these new hospitals get built around here, especially the one in Parrish, that will allow us to take more facilities, more students.
You have the infrastructure in place to take on more students.
We might, yes, we might need another faculty member if that was the case. We have more students, but probably
so
yes.
Infrastructure is enough to support more students, but you may need another instructor. Is that correct?
I would say yes. The infrastructure with our new labs, you know, we're good.
If you had the credentials to do that, how many more students now could you take with a staff member? 20, 25?
Total or additional?
Total.
Probably yes. Yeah, but we can't place them. That's the problem.
Can't place them.
Because the number of hospitals.
Yes. You can only put like two or three students at a hospital.
Yeah, but you know, like Manatee owns four imaging systems.
See, and that's the
freestanding imaging places.
The freestanding.
So we got the in the hospital. Then we got four others.
But those aren't good for students because they basically focus on CT. We're an X-ray program. So the x-ray on those things are like a secondary thing. So we've looked at that. We've looked at the data, and there's just not enough x-rays to support having a student there at this time. We have investigated that.
Britt?
First of all, beautiful. I mean, your passion to be 36 years into your profession, and you are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. I would not, most people, the idea when you're about to retire is you know,
it's weird. I'm kind of ramping up too.
No, you are ramping up.
That is those new labs. It's those new labs.
And it's really encouraging to hear from you all and see your excitement for your field too. So thank you for taking your time to be here today when you're not serving patients. I'm curious. I mean, I don't know exactly your training. It sounds like June 1. If you're going to be somewhere else, but would there ever be an opportunity to then expand the type of imaging that we offer training for? So if we do a really good job with x-ray, I mean, I know CT is different or MRI is different, but something.
I'm in the process. We're trying to start a CT certificate program here. We're kind of, that's on the back burner. Yes.
Okay.
Assume it all comes down to money, resources.
I think so, I believe so, yes.
Okay, like mammography. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's another option, yes.
Hey, someone's excited to say something.
I am. I mean, that would be it'd be very cool to have a CT certificate program. You don't know how many people out there.
Yeah.
Pat teaches physics. He's a brilliant educator. And so many people out there were like, oh, I wish I had a Pat Patterson who taught me learn physics. Or the physics of the CT machine. So that would be very cool if or something here, and I think it would be very popular.
Yeah, I'm just surprised though, given the fact it's not, in my opinion, it's not the number of beds, it's actually the occupancy, like the average daily census of the hospitals, and especially with all the growth in Northport and Venice and the expansion of the hospitals down there.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time the accrediting entity kind of did a recast of all of the expansions that's been done?
I don't know that. That would come from me.
Just be curious if they're aware if they've been updated on all the additional growth
Yeah, and the other issue is, if you cross county lines, okay, then you can't really, that community college then reigns supreme over us, so they won't let us in there. That's why we can't go any further than Manatee County. Like, it'd be great to get in Hillsborough, those lower southern hospitals.
Yeah.
They won't let us.
No, but I'm talking about South Sarasota County.
Yeah. We are at Sarasota, Venice Hospital, we're down there.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious about the training done for children's imaging. I have had so many issues with my radiographers, clearly no one in the SCF program, non-imaging my children correctly. And I've had to have it redone and go up to all children. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just curious, I mean, granted, the standard is an adult, but do you cover at all?
We do,
children?
Yes. In fact, we have a rotation through Children's Orthopedic and Scoli Center in Tampa where they really get hands-on with pediatric patients. We do that, yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's great to hear.
Mm-hmm. Because that, you're correct. That's pediatric radiography. Techs don't like it because the patients are difficult. But there is no separate additional schooling for pediatric radiography, mm-hmm. per se. Mm-hmm.
Well, a grateful parent. Thank you for taking your time for that. Thank you.
How about, like, PETs?
PETs or PET?
PETs, like,
PET scanning.
Veterinary X-rays.
Yeah, that is a separate schooling. We don't do that here, but yes, there is schooling for that.
Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that PAT cannot retire.
I wouldn't, but the reason is the accreditation cycle's coming up again, and I don't want to do it. I may come back as an adjunct, but I just don't have it in me anymore to do another one of those.
Any more questions? Great presentation.
Yeah.
I have one other thing, though. So we're not allowed to have more than 17 students because there's only 17 positions per year that
we've been approved by the accreditation agency. So when you submit to a new site, they want to know how many machines they have, they want to know how many full-time faculty or how many full-time techs there are, and then they'll say, okay, they can accommodate two students. You might have a big hospital, but if they only have two x-ray techs on staff, they're going to say, sorry, because it has to be 100% supervision. And if you have more students in there than you have staff techs, they're going to say no. And you can get cited for that. When they come and do their site, you'll get cited.
Okay. I guess I don't understand that. I mean, what if you have a student who wants to move to Indiana and be a radiologist? I mean, just because there's no need here for
I think you're talking like clinical rotation.
Clinical
like
rotation.
It's part of the schooling.
Oh, so you're talking about because you have to have a student go into clinical
yes,
here.
Yes, yes.
So if they can't take more, you can't produce more.
Correct.
Correct?
Yes.
How about if you sign a deal with one of the hospitals to utilize a CT machine or an MRI machine for 2 hours a week, could we expand into teaching those courses? I mean, we can't afford to buy you an MRI machine.
Right. We do have sub, like every 2 weeks, we have our students go into the CT department. They get experience with CT. Very.
They can't get certified in it.
Right, because they got to go through it. It's a program.
All right, one of these students come to us at Manatee Memorial and we like them and we want to, can we send them on to college then? I mean, how do they learn the technology of an MRI and a CT?
There's freestanding CT, there's programs.
And they have to go to a university?
Or a community college, yes.
Or
a community college would develop a program where they could teach it, which is what we're investigating now.
Yes, ma'am.
So let's say I wanted to learn CT because right now I'm certified in general radiography. There's a couple ways you can do it. I could cross-train at a hospital, and one of the components of becoming certified is that you have to perform a certain amount of exams on your own, and you have to log those in with the ARRT. And then I can take the classes on my own, learning the physics. So I would get the clinical component at the hospital, kind of the hands-on training at the hospital. But the physics component that I would have to pass in the certification exam, I could take elsewhere. But if SCF offered a program that could teach the physics part of the CT scanners, I think that would be extremely popular. I think a lot of people that are cross-training, they would get the cross-training on their job training, but then the actual physics part would be, I think, very popular, the didactic courses, if you will.
And we are currently investigating that, ways to try to get a module, so many modules to work that we can maybe get this thing rolling. I've had some conversations with Dr. Rand about it and Dr. Baston, and we're working on it, or looking at it, investigating it.
I'd like to see that explored in depth, because Brent and I both sit on hospital boards, and I know we could find some time in our schedules to, I mean, we have 5 MRI machines.
Yeah.
You know, we can free one up for clinicals, you know, but like you say, if you could have the classes that would teach them,
right,
the physics in the classroom,
yes,
we
and
can
then
find
like,
a place to train them, is what I'm trying to get
and
at.
Like Lindsay was saying, that to take the sit for the national licensure exam, you have to have so many exams documented that you did. And so that would be on the student, but that time on the machine would lead to that then, obviously.
Who is your competition? Like
Kaiser? Yes.
Why?
Our tuition is so much more reasonable, theirs is so crazy, because they didn't want to wait.
And because you can't accept everyone, this is, and well, I'm just thinking, you know, with, I my hat is Sarasota Memorial, given their support with the line funding for nursing, they're investing a lot in this institution, granted perhaps not the radiology program, but certainly it's an adjacency. And
which
so, to me, it would make a lot more sense to, you know, put your eggs in this basket than and hire all the radiology graduates, so then maybe you get, or, you know, do more clinical rotations. I mean, I was getting an image last Friday with a child that broke an arm, and I noticed the radiology student had a Kaiser lanyard. By the way, they were not very friendly, so I'm like, I know.
Or knowledgeable. No.
Well, there is a cast. There is a cast on the arm. But I don't know. I don't want to, you know, step outside of my bounds, but I just, you know.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Just one other comment. We used to rotate through Sarasota Memorial, and then when Kaiser came aboard, they said, we don't want you anymore. So that's why we're not down there.
Hey.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Very
thank
nice.
You.
Very
thank
good
you.
Job. Vice President Price, you want to talk about our financials?
Sure. Page 27 in your book is the CFO report. These financial statements are through the first 5 months of this fiscal year.
I'm sorry, volume needs to go up.
Oh, sorry. So, page 27 of your book is the CFO report. These financials are through the first 5 months of this fiscal year. There isn't anything that I have to note that I didn't discuss in the report. Overall, for the first 5 months, we're improving on our financial flexibility. We have a little bit stronger operating performance early on in this year. I would caution it's still 5 months only. We'll continue to spend as we go through. But our focus, and you'll see it in each of the financial reports, is the benefit cost escalation is really starting to impact our overall funds on operations. We're also seeing the other area of significant cost increase is contracted service. They're being hit with inflationary increases, and we can't stop using the contracted services. So it's just one more area for us to really try to manage as we continue through the year.
Jennifer, will you remind the board the benefit, the escalated benefit costs that's from the transition
that's
to the
transfer to the state health insurance plan. So the colleges are having to fund those increases.
And how much was that for us?
Coverage.
Per year.
Overall, per year, right now it's $2 million. little higher than that.
How much?
2 million.
But the increase compared to what we were doing?
I would have to look to give you the exact number for that.
Would you say it's a million?
Over that.
Or more?
On average, about a million.
And we have to absorb that in our present budget.
Yes, we do.
We have no money coming in from the state.
They did not provide assistance for that. I thought there might have been some talk of bringing that up again in the session, but I don't think it's been done.
So the state mandated that we do this, and then they didn't give us the money to pay for it.
And then it was cut from the budget.
Well, they're not as efficient, apparently.
Does the employee pay part of that, or we pay 100%?
There's a small copay. There's a small copay depending on what level of coverage that you have. But it's a significant benefit and savings for the staff.
And they know all this, right?
It certainly impacted their paychecks.
Well, it certainly impacted our bottom line, I'll tell you that.
It did impact our bottom line, and you can see that in the personnel costs. You'll see that in the benefit line. The only thing I want to point out, I made one more change to how the financials were presented. If you turn to page 31 or after there, what you're used to seeing in a footnote reference, it was providing you with information on what types of line items were included in each category. We've switched that up. So the footnote references in your financial reports, we're giving you an explanation on variance analysis, plus or minus 10% or greater. So it'll explain to you why did student fees change from this period to last period. We're going to tell you in the footnotes why each of these significant variances, what was causing that increase. So hopefully it'll explain the financial position a little bit better when you read through those statements.
Thank you. Any questions?
I do have a question. Because even though I'm a CPA, I don't like doing math. So we have the original budget, adjusted budget, and then the actual. And of course, we don't have a budget that matches the actual as far as the time component. So it's hard to tell.
Correct.
How we're pacing. I know we're pretty static organization, but I'm trying to say, okay, well, we're this much on the revenue.
I know
side.
It's not useful. So our budget for state support is $39 million, but we're only reporting $14 million of that to date.
Yeah.
We could, cut and
reflect
the column of the budget over time. That's cyclical. I think it's. I understand what you mean. It's not that meaningful of a variance comparison to budget, which is why we don't talk about it.
There's
we talk
less
about
meaning
actual
between
actual.
The two budget columns, original and adjusted budget. That's not meaningful to me, right? If the adjusted budget would be probably the final one that long
ago. The adjusted budget, correct. That's how we're operating through this year and adjusting those numbers to where we actually need to have those monies to spend or report revenue.
That's not how it pays.
Any other questions for that? I just have a comment. Your narratives are very, very, very good, and I thank you for them. You answered all the questions that you and I spoke about together, and it's much easier for us to read and understand, especially giving us a little bit of a glimpse of an overall picture, which is what I asked for. So thank you very much. It's very nice. Very good. Okay, moving on. Approval of the non-financial consent agenda. Are there any exhibits that want to be removed? Okay, I do want to talk about two things before we go. Under D is out of country travel request. Is it too late to sign up for this class to go to Japan?
I wanted to go too.
My gosh, that was great.
Me too.
Not everybody's going, trying to go. Page 23, if I could direct your attention to this. This is kind of important because what it does is shows you the impact of the private sector helping us in the public sector, I guess you'd call it, to accomplish a goal. 4 years ago, as one of you knows, everybody's changed now, but we went to the president at that time and said, we want to expand the nursing program. What can we do? And I was told, we can't because we don't have enough money. We have to have seven new professors, and they have to have seven aides. But we did have the bones. We did have the infrastructure in place. So I said, what can we do? And Carol and I met with all of, at that time there were seven hospitals in our two counties. They're not there anymore, some of them. And as you can see here, these folks, Sarasota, Manatee, Lakewood Ranch, the Manatee Memorial Foundation, all started kicking in money. And we also went to some of the private people for money and raised $480,000, which wasn't enough. So we went to DeSantis and we said, hey, Governor, if we raise this money, is there anything, Jimmy did for it, Jimmy Boyd, what can we do? And he goes, he thought it was such a good idea, DeSantis made it statewide. And so he said, we do need nurses. There's 63,000, by the way, upside down in the state of Florida. And they produced this doubling, matching what we raised privately. And so hand in hand with our hospitals and concerned citizens, been able to achieve the goal of increasing our nursing output by almost double. And you saw that in our last December graduation. You saw the numbers for the first time escalate because of this program. And so this grant proposal is very important to us, and it's really, really worked, because now we're really utilizing the private sector to help us, and those people are going to work right here in our county, and I'm proud of them for that. So I wanted to make that statement. So is there a motion to accept the non-financial consent?
Second.
Motion, second by Brett. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Approve the financial consent agenda. Any exhibits want to be taken out or talked about? Hearing none, we'll go for the vote. Is there a motion to accept the approval of the financial?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Karen?
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. On page 50, you have our standing facility project list. If there's no questions, we'll move on unless Chris can answer anything for you. Okay, we'll move on to facilities then. Chris, please, our analyst for us.
I've got four items for tonight. One is to get approval to negotiate with our top rank architect for two projects, both the Venice Collegiate School construction project and the Parish Collegiate School construction project. The second one is approval to negotiate with the top rank construction manager for the two projects, both Parish and Venice. I'm looking for project approval for our athletic field refurbishment. And then finally, I just want to have a little discussion with you regarding the outcomes of our comprehensive safety inspection report. So page 51 of your board package, you'll find my board memo on the request to negotiate with our top rank architect for both, again, Venice and Parish Collegiate School. So we followed the Consultant Competitive Negotiation Act. We issued an RFQ. We evaluated firms based on their experience, past performance, staffing, their presence in our community. We set up an evaluation committee and included Trustee Goodson. We got two separate negotiations that are going to occur. Again, one for the design contract for the Venice construction project, which we've got funding for that. And then we're going to have a separate negotiation for the Parish design contract for that creative school. We don't have funding for that one at the moment. So the intent is to go ahead and negotiate with our top rank architect for Venice creative school, and I'll be back at the February board getting contract approval with that architect. So request an approval to negotiate with the top-ranked architect, which is Sweet Sparkman, for the Venice Collegiate School project design and the Parrish Collegiate School project design pending funding. Yes.
Is that a motion? The request for motion?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, motion. Second. Great, great front.
Further discussion? I'll say this, it was a grueling experience. Said it for 9 hours, but Sweet Sparkman has a great deal of knowledge in this area. I think they're a very good choice. All of them could have done the job, don't misunderstand me, but they really stood out, and I think we're making a good choice here. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Next.
Okay, along the same lines, follow the same process for selection of the construction management firm. Page 52 is the board memo on that one. Again, issued an RFQ following the CCNA process. Evaluated the firms based on experience, past performance, their bonding capacity, their staffing, presence in the community. Evaluation committee put together. Trustee Goodson sat on that one also. And again, pending funding, we're looking at negotiating with the top rank, which is Willis Smith, for the two separate projects. And obviously, we don't have the construction budgets yet, so requesting approval to negotiate with the top rank construction management, Willis Smith Construction, for both projects, and that's been pending funding. Now, I will use Willis Smith for pre-construction. Obviously, we're going to move forward with the design on the Venice Collegiate School, but that amount of money is well below the $325,000 threshold requiring board approval.
Is there a motion to accept?
Motion.
Motion by Rick. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Karen. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries.
Okay, the third is I'm requesting project approval for the refurbishment of our baseball and softball athletic fields. Been decades since there was any kind of major refurbishment out there. Scope of work would be new irrigation, laser leveling to address drainage issues, replacing the soil, the clay, the turf. We're looking at putting some artificial turf on the infield of the baseball field. We do have a budget that's out of capital reserve. It's $900,000. So requesting board approval for the athletic field refurbishment project for that $900,000 budget.
So moved.
Motion. Your second?
Second.
Further discussion? Only me, I guess. I've been out there. I've talked to the athletic director. Chris has talked to the coaches. This is a desperately needed expenditure. I'm glad we're going to approve it here in just a minute because it really, really needs it badly. And we have explored several different options. We think there were options, but there are. And I think Chris has come up with the best plan for attacking this problem. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries.
Yeah, so I will be back at the February board for contract approval to do the actual installation. And this is a full summer 2026 to get both fields accomplished and be open for the fall semester. Yeah, the fall semester. So last thing I want to talk to you about is just a moment for me to brag a little bit about facilities, public safety. Pages 54 through pages 64. You're going to find our annual comprehensive safety inspection results. It's a wonderful KPI to evaluate a campus facility operation. Both SRF and Florida Administrative Code requires a third-party fire safety inspection firm come on site. They walk every square foot of space that we got on all three campuses. They're looking at fire systems, testing, and our inspection results, our elevator search, emergency lighting exit signs, emergency egress pathways, storage, our fire and smoke wall integrity. There's everything is uncovered. This year we got zero serious findings and zero non-serious findings. It's a perfect score.
Wow.
When you talk to the inspectors, they hit all 28 state colleges. We are in the upper tier on the performance of this inspection. So I'm just quite proud of both the facilities team and the public safety team That's a due diligence, that's a daily, weekly, quarterly, annual, constant effort to stay on top of that, 66 buildings, a million square feet.
Good job.
Should come to my house and help.
She's already breaking their arms over there.
Dr. Hale.
Sir.
Talk to us about our mission, our visions, and our values. Or the lack thereof.
So over the past few years, I come before you each year and we discuss the mission statement, ask you to approve the mission statement, and I keep promising that eventually we'll be in strategic planning and we'll be able to review those items. So the strategic planning committee has been working diligently on looking at our mission and our vision and our values, and I'm going to bring to you tonight the revised versions that we've been working with, and I'm going to kind of show you those side by side with the prior version. I think the committee has done a really amazing job of really capturing what the college does, what our mission really is, and the vision that we have for the college that the president has set out for us moving forward. So, begin with our mission. And I'm just going to read you the new one. You can see it's just a little bit of a shift, nothing dramatic from what our mission was, but it kind of places the emphasis where we found it to be most important. So SES mission is student success. Through high-quality, open-access education, we create pathways that empower students to achieve prosperity, transform lives, and strengthen their communities. It's really important for that committee to make sure that it was just an easy thing that everybody understood. Our mission is student success. Everything else just qualifies how we go about that. So very proud of how that worked out. We began working on this back in the summer, even prior to the summer even. And one of the concerns of the committee as we worked through the information we had from the college and all the different parts, we hadn't explored the values yet. I'm going to kind of come back to that in a little bit. They said, how are we going to go about having a mission if we haven't looked at the values? And we had a conversation, and the chair of the committee, Dr. Johnson, said, well, how do we proceed with strategic planning if we don't yet have an idea where our mission is? Let's come up with a draft. We can always revisit it again after the values are done, but let's have a guiding draft that we're going to work with. So we've been working with this guiding draft for quite a bit of time now, and we've now completed all of our look at the values as well that I'll go over, and I'll show you how those things do that. The next piece is the vision, and this is laid out by President Gregory to begin with, you know, setting our sight on increasing our graduation rate and decreasing our time to degree for our students. And our vision is to be a national leader in student success and paths to graduation, driving transformation across communities and industries. And I think that's clear and measurable. We know what a national leader in graduation rate is. And we have our eyes set on that. We have that graduation percentage locked in, and we're going after it and looking at all the pieces of data that go with that. So this is the right vision to have that spot on the horizon that we're aiming for. And it replaces a vision to become the region's first choice and kind of sets the sights at a further point on the horizon. So helps us to move along.
So help me understand, national leader in student success, right? Great line. Mm-hmm. And PADS. What does that mean, PADS?
Yes, and that's it there very intentionally. You see it also in the mission.
Yes.
We've been working.
I understood it in the mission. I'm having trouble understanding.
Florida Pathways Institute was something that came to us through the Department of Education, asked us if we wanted to participate in working on guided pathways with some facilitation through Columbia University and others. And we've been looking at guided pathways and showing how we can decrease the time to degree for our students if we clearly align their path to graduation with their career interests. So, you know, we often talk about students coming in and they're undecided, they don't know what they want to do. We're trying to streamline that, get students exploring what their career options are, and then making sure that their degree pathway aligns very well to what they want to accomplish without them having to guess and, you know, make a lot of back and forth decisions. So trying to streamline the process. So we want to be a leader in those paths to graduation and in setting the path for the student and helping them get on the path, stay on the path, and be successful on the path.
So instead of, I guess, it's guidance, then basically.
It is. It's okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And then last we have our values, and you can see that there's not a huge amount of variance here either, but some differences in wording and differences in how we qualify them. The first one, accountability. SCF meets our commitments with honesty, integrity, and transparency, owning our outcomes and continuously improving. And that owning our outcomes speaks to the way we're going to drive after that vision and really be responsible for how we graduate students and the time frames that we graduate from them. And also, you know, the idea that we had integrity as our value before, and you can have integrity and own what you're doing and be, you know, honest, but not be achieving those outcomes. And this just kind of shifts the needle to from just having integrity to having accountability for what we're doing. Excellence. SCF emphasizes high standards, consistent delivery, prioritize excellence in teaching and learning. This speaks to the way in which we get to those things. We're not going to get to graduation rates without acknowledging our great faculty and the teaching and learning work that they do here. That is the vehicle that's going to get us there. Belonging. SCF is a community where every student and employee is welcomed and supported. We're here. We're an open access institution. Our goal and our thing that we can do is transform the lives of people in the community. We see it all around us. A first-time in college student is the first one in their family to go to college, and it transforms the entire fortunes of their family and the people around them. I'm the first one in college in my family. It's completely made every bit of difference, and it matters in the generations that come after, and my children go to college, and things change, and that's what we hope for our community. Teamwork. SCF works as one college, building trust and partnership to find solutions and achieve shared goals. And as we keep saying, we've got a very clear set of shared goals now. We have a very clear vision, very clear idea of what we're all working towards. In community connections, SCF forges strong community relationships to create educational opportunities that generate lasting impact. And that's just our proactive stance toward our community. Oftentimes, and we had a lot of discussion about this in our committee went back and forth, and Dr. Pye just weighed in on this. Oftentimes, community colleges speak of being responsive to community needs. That's a very reactive stance, and we'd like to look at the community and be the institution that understands what educational opportunities exist, what is the cutting-edge stuff that we can be doing, and offering that to our community instead of just responding when the need comes along. So the last part I want to show you, and this is what we took these values. The values came from a series of four surveys with our leadership, trustees, the staff had a survey, the students had a survey that they completed, and faculty had a survey. And across all of those surveys, one thing that came out that everybody stated as a value, and we kind of put it here as a little preamble, these values are to drive student success. SCF is committed to adhere to the following values. Student success itself isn't necessarily a value. We mention it in our vision, we mention it in our mission, and we want to understand that these are the values that will get us there. And then we also shared, when we went through those four surveys, all four of the surveys all emphasized these five things. All five of these were top priority in every survey. There was a very clear and consistent message of what those were. And then when the committee got the chance to look back at the mission, this is what we found. Accountability is described in the mission when we talk about SCS mission for student success. That is literally us being accountable for the exact action. High quality speaks to what we're looking for in excellence. We're an open access education institution. We foster belonging. Everybody can come here and be a part of what we do, and we'll help you get ready. We'll help you enter into that situation and be successful. We create pathways. As a group, we're creating those guided pathways through that guided pathways project. That work continues on, and that encompasses everything that a student will encounter, from their guidance to the way that they move through the curriculum, to the way that their professors are able to help them, and the way that we get them linked up to the industry at the end. And then we do that when we strengthen, or all of these things work together to strengthen our community and have that piece of the So what I'm asking you to do tonight is to review this, and if you see fit, to approve it, you know, move to approve it, and then we'll move forward with this set of mission, vision, and values as our guiding principles for our next strategic plan. And the strategic planning committee is continues to work hard. They were meeting today again, working really hard, and they'll be coming forward with some goals and strategic initiatives for the college to follow to get to this, to get to achieve this vision.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to jam anything down here. I've talked about this before, so if you want to review this and vote on it next time we can, or if you want to ask some questions today and vote today, that's up to you. But this is a lot going on here. This is kind of important, so let me know what you want. Let's go to questions.
Yeah, so when I looked at this and I first got it, and all, I thought like, well, this is going to feel like a lot of money going quarterbacking, because clearly you guys have done a lot of meetings and committee, and now we have it here. And maybe it's even Wednesday morning. I don't know. And part of this is probably just me thinking always shorter and tighter is better. But so before I get to a comment on the mission, first of all, almost feels like you could end it with the first sentence. It's just kind of a home run. Everything else trails behind that. Who is the mission statement aimed at? Is it aimed at for staff to follow, staff and faculty? Is it for the community to understand what the mission is? Who's the target audience? And the reason I ask that is because I suspect that a phrase like "we create pathways that empower students" is very much understood by staff and or faculty. But out in the community, somebody like me, who's been on this board for a while, that's just gobbledygook. And it's not surprising that Jamie asked it on the Vision One. What does this mean? You know, create pathways. And so he said, so basically guide them. I'm thinking, yeah, exactly, guide them. In my editor's hat, I would just change it to guide them. But I'm not saying we have to do that, because again, this is Wednesday morning, I realize we're coming at this, and I'm not here to upset the apple cart. But, you know, if it's aimed at the broader community, you might want to think about more, shoot, if you're using this word, inclusive language, that people would understand that aren't faculty and staff. So I'm just throwing that out there.
So, if I can directly, yes to most of those groups in that way. I think the first thing it needs to do is when we have internal discussions about resource allocation, for example, or anything else, what are we doing this? We can immediately just look to, well, what's the mission say? What's the best thing we can do for students with this, with the resources we currently have? It guides all those internal things. The pathways part of it does speak to a big internal program that we internally understand, and you're 100% right. And what I would hope is when the community sees it and when we have those opportunities and somebody asks, how about pathways? Then it gives us the open door to explain what we're doing. You know, this is our guided pathways project. This is what we're trying to do with students. This is the current way that these students, that we can come alongside them. When I was in school, nobody cared. I mean, I could stay in school forever, nobody was going to care, and I could just wander around and take whatever I wanted and explore. It's a little tighter now with the restrictions and the legislation and the way that financial aid works. We want to get our students, make sure they're on the right path as fast as possible. And just being able to open the door to that conversation with the community, I think, is part of why it's there. Additionally, just giving a nod to the hard work we're doing and understanding that the Pathways program we've begun is something that we know we need to continue to achieve our goals.
So given all that, you feel like it definitely belongs in the mission statement, most overarching, most general, broad statement for the college.
I think for the, you know, the reason that we went back and forth and we had lots of really difficult discussions.
I'm sorry for the late.
No, and we brought it back to, and that's why the mission itself is, SES mission is student success. The rest is qualifying language. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to be there for us internally as qualifying language. But I think as you're talking out in the community and, you know, somebody said to you, you know, so what is the mission of SEF? Student success. It's easy. You're never going to forget it.
Right.
It's going to be right there. And the rest of it qualifies. And I think it is important for us internally because it connects to a lot of what we're trying to accomplish and what we're working on.
And I'm sorry, the last thing then, and that you feel like that holds for empower students as opposed to, you know, create pathways that guide students. Empower feels like one of those bureaucratic words to me. And again, just a guy out there, and I'm fine with whatever the board wants to do it and when we want to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm just...
And I feel kind of qualified to have the conversation because it's the same conversations. Like, these are the things that went back and forth with us, you know? And part of it is, if it was just guide, it's a little bit passive. And what we're looking for is that exact feeling when a student can come in and it does elevate the futures of their family. It does empower them to do different things. You know, I think about, you know, without going way off, you know, in a direction, I think about where my educational goals were at 24, 25, and then what education allowed me to do and where my son's goals were. My son has gone on to, like, basically just follow a roadmap that I didn't know the path at all. And he just did it at a lot younger age. Because of SCF and his start here, he was able to do that. So I think empower is an important part of it because it's a little more elevated than and speaks to what we're trying to accomplish for the community.
I thought I might be the only on it, but I wanted to bring it out anyway, just because it's kind of representing the average Joe Schmo in the community here that would like to maybe understand what the mission statement is. I think as clean as we can put it is best.
Critical first question that you asked, is it internal or external? It's internal. This is our team. What is our mission?
And so if that's, I'm sorry to interrupt you, go ahead. If that's the primary goal, I have really no problems with it then, because you guys get it and what it's saying.
Yeah.
And you're going back to it then when things come up, how do we make these decisions? You check that. Everybody gets on the same page internally. It's great.
Yeah.
Karen, you're okay with it?
As an educator, I really like it. It's basically student success is open. Pathways is beautiful. I mean, there's something to where are those pathways, how do I get them? And it's empowering and it shows why. I think I'm an educator creating mission statements forever and being internally, I think it's powerful.
Jennifer?
I just have a question in terms of when I look at a mission statement, I often think of like, how are we going to measure success, right? So these are what we're identifying and then, you know, how are we going to measure that? So I understand that with the Florida Pathways, we are looking to create new programs and new access and things like that. There might come a time when we're not able to create new, so would it be more appropriate to say we identify pathways or we support pathways? Or I just don't want us to feel like we're shooting ourselves in the foot by saying we're creating them and all of a sudden we come to a year where the budget doesn't allow us to expand into creation.
Yeah, I think this, in that internal sense, even when the committee was discussing, when we're thinking about creating pathways, I think we need individually for each student to get to their goal. So the pathway isn't necessarily a big thing at the catalog level like we created in the program. It's more of, here's what a student comes in with, here's what the student wants to accomplish, here's the path for the student to be able to do that. And I think that's the piece that we all understand internally.
Is there any more? What do you want to do? You want to make a motion. Are you all okay with that? You want to table it? You're ready to go.
Is your process to go mission approval, vision approval, values approval,
no,
or take it all together?
All together.
Okay. I approve the mission. I think it'd be helpful if we could just, I'm happy to vote on this today. I think it would be helpful to talk about each piece. Can we just ask questions for the other two?
Sure. Go ahead. Go to whatever.
Receive division.
I think I understand now, and I know its purpose for is internal, but let me get back up. I love the mission statement. Student success is awesome. We can remember it. We can say it, bada bing, bada boom. And then the second sentence gives a lot of clarifying content. I love the vision to be a national leader in student success and paths to graduation. I think what you're saying, their paths to graduation, it's not just paths to the AA, it's paths to the AA and beyond to other degrees. That paths to graduation is purposefully generic because it's your path to the AA might look different. Right. Okay. Back in
on a new path.
First gen students. Yes. Okay. That's why I just wanted to make sure I personally understood it, that vision makes sense.
One of the things that group has built, just for context, is I believe it's 28. They took the 28 most common ways that a student will transfer, the 28 programs that are most commonly transferred to, and we built that into our degree work system. So that a student, when they're here doing their first 2 years, they can see where that 2 years
fits. 28 ways?
Well, there's 28 very common for engineering, medicine.
Okay. You know, oh, okay.
Majors
so
that they would tend to transfer to. We have that all built in, so they can see that they're getting the right prerequisite work while they're here to transfer on, whether they're going to take the rest of their 4 years with us or whether they're going to U.S.
Yes.
after.
Okay.
Or
yes, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other further questions about any part of this?
Just one comment. I've been business for such a long time and doing mission statements, vision statements, value statements were my thing. And I've also worked with a lot of companies that have done it. It's going to come down to, it's a great set of words, how well do people understand it and embrace it. And that's kind of, it's all about implementation. So if you guys do a great job implementing, I think the words will make a difference.
All right, it seems like everybody wants to vote tonight. So
I'd like to second Mike's motion.
Can we just talk about the values real quick? We haven't gotten to values.
Oh, sure.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
No.
Please, take as much time as you need.
I love these values. I think these words are just more charged. And like, if you were in a, you know, composition class, your English teacher would be really proud of you because, you know, these are action words. So I think they're excellent. One thing that struck me in accountability, when I think about accountability, something that Jenny said was measure, and I didn't read that from accountability, like you would have a metric.
I think.
I'm sure that's what you're thinking, but that, you said owning our outcomes, but if it were me, I think having metrics stated in there could be a helpful addition.
I hear that for sure. I think with metrics, and I was, you know, we were working on one of our grants today, and the focal point of that grant is, like everything else right now, because we have a very clear, is getting us to a 65% graduation rate. Like,
right.
Here's the target. It was very clear. And then all the metrics that go beneath, they wanted me to show a logic model of what's the action, what's the evidence that action's occurring, and then what is the student outcome that will occur from that set of actions. I think it's so many different things, but part of the way that the strategic plan that we've been talking about and the way it's going to materialize, we'll have the goals, and beneath them strategic initiatives to achieve those goals. And beneath that, each department is going to be creating their own department plan of how to address the strategic plan. So the measurable part will be in every department for college.
Oh, certainly. I just wanted to make sure that your definition of accountability wasn't just being honest, which honesty is good, but I can be honest and still do a bad job at something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can still get a, you know, 30% as opposed to 65%. Anyway, I just was acknowledging that. One other thing that I find helpful in values, especially when you are changing four words to five, remembering them is, I don't know if the strategic planning committee has come up with like a fun acronym or something clever to have people.
We were so close.
I tried to change teamwork to a D.
A B C D.
Teamwork.
Or each. Can I just throw one out there, and if you take it, you take it. If you don't, you don't. I was like playing around with this. I didn't even use ChatGPT. I was really trying to go on this college way. Be the ace. Like you're an ace.
Yeah.
It's a ton of excellence. So the B, belonging, the is teamwork, and then A, C, E. Just saying. You could, and then if someone does a good job living out the values, we like throw them an ace. You know, like you're an ace.
Right.
Just saying.
Can we add her to the committee?
Yeah. I'm just saying there's verbiage you may want to change.
I will vote on it as is. I think this is the king of metrics over here. I just had to say it, but I will vote on it.
I'm glad you are, but if you have a problem, we can postpone it.
I wanted to get clarity that they were thinking about metrics as they thought about values, and I have that clarity.
But you're going to live with this probably next decade, so I want to make sure you're happy.
I think
Jennifer,
I'll sleep at
night. You want to say something?
Just on the acronym thing, I also look for easy ways to remember things. I thought of A, B, C, D, E. I could not come up with a good D. But I did also think of teach, T-E-A-C-H, that if belonging was maybe change, maybe home isn't the right word, but if we found an H word, teach would be really appropriate.
We can continue working on it and bring it back.
Your marketing committee's over here.
I sound like you guys are wanting massages. Why don't we put it off the next?
Collective.
Why don't we put it off the next month?
I think I'm in support.
I am too.
I'm in support. But I think it's helpful that the board can talk it over with the team to make sure that we understand what they mean. But they are the ones that are truly living and working by these words.
And on that point, Dr. Howell, just real quick, Mr. Chairman, since I raised a whole bunch of questions, I want to say that the mission statement and the vision, huge improvements over what we've had, just really huge improvements, which I had some issues with that. I had issues with our values thing, and it just didn't feel like a fight worth having at those moments. But so really, very thankful for what you've come up with here, and my input was just that.
And the team just, that team of people just worked incredibly hard. And, you know, when we talk about having, you know, we have an English professor on the team that's crafting the wording. We have those people. And they worked so hard at this. And everybody's, there wasn't a single person around that table that would fully share their voice and give their commitment to this and really buy in. And there was, I will say this, it was probably one of the more passionate discussions I've ever been a part of here. Incredibly respectful, various viewpoints. And when we got to the end and we finished the very last sentence of the very last one, nobody said we were done. Everybody just started clapping at once. It was just kind of like everybody understood that was it.
Thank you, Dr. Hale. There's been a motion and a second that we vote on tonight. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Who wants to make a motion to adopt? We're adopting everything that's been presented for us tonight.
What's that?
No. We voted to vote tonight. That's what we just did.
Well,
made the motion.
You want to do it. I'm sorry. That was
No. You go ahead.
No, he can take it. Let the minutes reflect that Mr. Fuller said.
That we move to approve as presented.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Great job. Please express to your committee what a great job they did. Mr. Prouty, I'm going to ask that you take number 12 to next month, if you don't mind.
Well, I will absolutely be pleased to move on to next
Thank
month.
You.
Thank you, sir.
We're running out of time. We've got a lot more to cover tonight. Also,
about
Mr.
About
President,
number 13.
Did you put off your goals to next month?
Sure.
Okay. Synopsis of the pending rules revision, Ms. Prouty.
This is a simple change to the holiday and non-duty paid time off rule. It is meant to bring back spring break to the rank and file of the college. As you know, the faculty already get spring break. We won't be acting on it this month. It hasn't been noticed adequately. Next month it will be, and we'll be able to act on it. I would like to perhaps take your temperature on this rule change in the sense of giving the college family an idea of whether they should be planning things like childcare and or vacations, etc.
Mr. President, why don't you relate to us some of the things you related to me about this change?
I agree with Mr. Prouty. I'd like to do a quick straw poll, but the bottom line is we're one, the only one of the 28 colleges that does do spring break for all of our employees. So that's, in a nutshell, the story. I'd love to see a straw poll from the trustees. How many of you think you'd be in favor? No, you don't get to vote, Dr. Prouty.
No, I don't. If I may, student success. The easier we can let our students know that operations are or are not available is extremely beneficial in our world.
So we can plan appointments accordingly. I've certainly spoken with each of you individually, but if we just take a quick straw poll.
Straw vote. This doesn't count.
That's a great idea. I didn't know that they didn't.
Great.
That's the reality.
Rick, Greg?
Yes, support.
Karen, Greg, Lou? Okay.
We're all happy. It'll be back next month, all ready to rock on, and we'll vote on it next month.
I'd just like to add something the school system's done for years, and there actually is a cost savings to it because you're able to shut down the campus and the power. In addition to giving that benefit to employees, there's a cost factor, savings.
So this is just a straw poll. We can't notice it. We can't do anything too fast because it hasn't been noticed.
I'll get into the weeds just a tiny bit. It requires 28 days of notice to be, to comply with the Administrative Procedures Act. We started notice, it's not 28 days today, but on the next meeting, it'll be more than 28 days. That's why we have to have that crazy public hearing that we have every time we revise a rule. It's noticed so that the public can be here and agree or disagree as they see fit.
Well, your straw poll is very favorable. I think it's going to be good for morale. I'm going on, but I'm not. We're all in favor, so we'll vote on next month, okay?
Chairman, I think I can speed ahead on the board meeting schedule if you'd like, because I have had an opportunity each of the trustees, and there seems to be a consensus that is built from the members of the board to stay on the last, is it the last Tuesday? Last Tuesday of the month, but to shift this board meeting from the 5:30 time slot to a 9:30 a.m. time slot. So unless somebody wants to make a change to that, I think you could approach board with a vote.
Work for you guys. Okay. For the ones that are still working, I think is the most important here. So you're okay with it? Y'all okay with it?
I just have one question. If staff wants to make commentary, will it be evident then to make public comment?
It's certainly possible that you would have an employee that isn't available at 9:30 or even at 5:30, but the inverse is also true. Mm-hmm. We have evening classes, there's employees that can't always make it at the time we have it. But we certainly record it, and they could submit comments, and they could have a colleague come and present the public comments. So there's always a way.
Yeah, I would say that, and I would discuss it with you, the biggest problem I would have with the staff, are they okay with it? Because you're taking them out of their offices, you're taking them out of their classes. If you're not, to me, that's the biggest problem. If you think that's not a problem, then you can move on.
Well, this is not the exact same as attending a board meeting and having your comment made in this formal setting, but one of the things I talked about with President Gregory is that I thought it could be really nice if anyone chose after the conclusion of our meeting to go over to the student center, get a bite to eat, have something to drink, and then mingle with students and be available for faculty members as well, because now we're not when we leave. The parking lot's pretty empty, so that could be another way if they wanted to talk to someone, even if it's not the exact same.
As long as a group of us doesn't talk together.
But our attorney will be present.
All been coached up.
Okay, let's. If everybody seems to be happy, let's go ahead and vote on that. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
So moved. Motion is that we're from now on, starting next month, on the last Tuesday of every month that we meet anyway, we're going to meet at 9:30 a.m. in this building. Everybody happy with that? Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go home hungry.
Any further discussion? Call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Okay. I got new business, but I'm not going to bring it up. We're too late. Cassandra, who's going to be very quick for us tonight.
I will be very quick. So President Gregory was just talking about our February 7th Avenues to the Future. If you could pass those on down. Pass these on down. On the front side, you're going to see the Avenues to the Future. And then on the back, you're going to see Motown Magic on the Venice campus. Thank you to those that were present during the unveiling with Dr. Jervy. We certainly appreciate the showing from the trustee board, and that really sang to Dr. Jervy as he got to meet all of you, and it was a really great day for State College of Florida and the foundation. So as far as avenues, thank you for those that have already contributed through their sponsorship or purchase of tickets. Last day to purchase tickets will be this Friday, which is June 30th, because we need to call in our catering and that type of thing. We will have a upscale barbecue for those of you who are hungry. We're going to whet your appetite, if you will. We'll have two beef carving stations. There'll be mirrored buffets, and then with all the extra fixings that you would want in a upscale barbecue. So there'll be lots of choices. And then for our entertainment, we will have a special tribute artist, renowned throughout country western singing, which is one of our adjunct faculty. And so that'll be a nice surprise, along with a line dancing troupe. So we're super excited to have this type of faculty involvement, and I think it'll be very, very special for our guests to have that type of artist come and sing a few songs for us. So that's all I have for this evening. Are there any questions for the foundation? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Board comments.
Thank you so much to the Strategic Planning Committee. I think it was extremely thoughtful and really excited about the next 5 years.
I just want to say how excited I am for the storybook parade. And for those of you that aren't familiar with what it is, we will have 400 families coming on the Venice campus.
400?
400 families, and each family will receive approximately 20 brand new books.
Oh, wow.
So it will be sold out, and it's just a great opportunity. We'll also have vendors there that are exploring things with kids and art and music and all sorts of things. So if you feel so moved to go down to Venice on the 7th, I'll be there, and I think you'll be really pleased with what's being seen. The other thing I want to say was thank you to Chairman Goodson for tickets to the Best of the Best. I thoroughly enjoyed myself and was very, very impressed with the talent and the work ethic of our musical students.
Those opera singers or something.
Blew me away.
Michael?
The radiography presentation was great. But it is really a good addition to have a presentation, even if the meetings go longer, because candidly and historically, I wouldn't have known any of that. And so, yeah, really good addition.
I agree.
The safety record, 100%.
It's unbelievable.
I deal with that sort of stuff on a somewhat regular basis, but big deal. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Good job. Ms. Rose.
Congratulations to the faculty and the staff for the Best of the Best performance, the musical performance, with extraordinary talent, as well as they presented themselves professionally. I can't help but remark on the jazz musician who had on the blue suede shoes, and it was a lot of fun. And I too am interested in the expansion of the radiography. I think that is a really interesting piece that. I'm interested in seeing where your research goes.
I agree, 100%.
No commentary. No, I have the lines, actually. I'm 100% safety inconceivable, really, so well done.
Mr. President?
Is that the second year in a row?
Oh, more so.
Second year in a row. It's a couple quick things. You can tell around this team, I'm blessed to have a wonderful team here around this table and the people in the back of the room and across the college. But I want to give a couple of shout-outs while we're here, in addition to Chris and his team for the safety inspection. Just what they're doing with everything they're always doing with upgrading radiography and the buildings and the refurbishment and all the construction we're about to tackle. He's done an incredible job there. We're going to come back to you as a board in a future time because we're probably going to need some more help. Another position or so in that division. And I also want to give a shout out to Jennifer Price, and you already did, Chair, but you you nailed it. The narratives and all the work that you and the newer members of your team are doing are much appreciated, much respected. Trustee Reiner, one of the questions you asked about expanding line to other programs, just so you know, there is a bill pending in Tallahassee to do that this year. So a lot of people are trying to run with that great idea to expand it to the other, you know, health services, health sciences. And I really liked Be the Ace until Trustee Impati said teach. And so now I'm trying to think of a belonging word that starts with H.
Happiness, the pursuit of happiness.
We'll be thinking about
homogenous.
I like this game.
Just like a woman, change your mind already.
Public meeting.
I want to say something before we leave. I was very impressed with this radiology. I think it was a fantastic presentation. I think there is a real avenue for expanding this into MRIs and CTs. I really do. With the hospitals that have already made inroads into our education. And I don't want this to fall on deaf ears. I really want us to think about how we can push this forward and go from 17 to maybe double that size of that class. But we don't need to buy all these equipment if we've got a hospitals that can furnish it for us. And they will, because they're the ones that are going to benefit, right? They're the ones that are going to get these employees. So I think this is a real avenue for us to explore. I hope we do. Anything else? We stand adjourned. Thank you very much for your attention. I'll see you in the morning on the 20 whatever.